Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Well, those were Jesus' words spoken to the church of the Laodicean. We're looking at things the last several days about valleys in our lives, times when we're spiritually dry or cold. Maybe we're still going through religious activity and having, you know, a religious form and things, but really we're not really doing well inside. And what I really want to stress this week is just pursuing after the Lord. We saw how the Lord gives beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that He is for us and not against us. He wants a close relationship with us, and it's our problems, it's our fault that we're not hot towards God. It's things in our lives, and we've been looking at different things. Yesterday we talked about the danger of prosperity and the peril of things going well in our lives. Well, we think of, you know, a danger of prosperity or the peril of things going well in our lives. We think, well, we want things to go well in our lives. Well, oftentimes when things go well in our lives, as we talked about yesterday, we forget about God. That's what God said to the children of Israel. When you got your houses and your lands and all these things, when you get all these things, you're going to forget about me. And He warned them of that. And it's the same way in our lives. And so there is a danger of prosperity. There is a peril of things going well in our lives. I found an interesting piece of history. I heard it the other day, and or yesterday, I guess it was, and I just thought, well, this would be good to read a portion of this. This is Abraham Lincoln's proclamation when he was president. It was for a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, and it was set for April 30th, 1863. That was the first one, I guess. But I'm not going to read the whole speech. I'm just going to read a little bit of it here. But he says, this is President Abraham Lincoln in 1863, and I think he wrote it in March or something, but it says, "And in so much as we know that by His divine laws, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven." Now listen to this. "We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. We have forgotten God." See, this is the very thing that I was talking about yesterday morning. And says, "We have forgotten God is because of all this, the power and the wealth and that." Listen to what he says as he goes on here. "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined," listen, this is, "we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us, then, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Well, he goes on there, and I'm not going to read any more, but I thought that was very interesting how, you know, he said there that we have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched us, And we thought that it was our own doing, that this is, you know, because we're, you know, such a blessed people or whatever, that this is our own doing. That, but it was God's blessing back then, and now they were going through, or then they were going through civil war, and he was saying how this could very well be the punishment of God. Well, I would hope that our national leaders, as they see the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the wars and the crimes to humanity in our streets and the just the rebellion of so many people and all these kind of things, even the financial crisis and all this, oh, that it would draw this nation back to the living God, and like Abraham Lincoln there wanted it to be back in his day. May our leaders be like that. And let's just pray for our leaders right now. The Bible tells us to pray. And Lord, I do pray that you would open up the eyes of our leaders to help them to see that you are not happy with the sins of this country and our national sins and also individual sins, Father. And I just pray, God, that you would open up the eyes of our leaders and help them to understand what's going on, and that they would repent and call a nation to repent, just as Abraham Lincoln did back in 1863. Father, we thank you. Well, we would think that the prosperity and things would draw us closer to the Lord, because, you know, we'd be so thankful or whatever. But just as Abraham Lincoln said, we kind of think that it's our own doing in some way or something, and it's not, and it actually draws us away from God. When things are going well, we think that our lives must be very pleasing to the Lord, and so then we run our businesses with more hours, and we work harder at them, and when things are going well, we spend more hours in the fields because of the good growing season and the perfect weather for farming. We spend more hours building our kingdoms and less hours on God's kingdom. We spend more time on our things and less time on our knees seeking after the living God. The earthly becomes so much more important than the spiritual. We thank the Lord for the prosperity, for his rich blessings, for his provision, but our hearts can be cold towards God. Our bellies and our bodies can get fat, but our souls can be so very lean and starved. And his word gets a lower place in our lives. Time in prayer gets shorter, so we can get outside or we can get to our business. And even our prayers oftentimes we're thinking about other things and not the things of God. We're not really pursuing after the Lord. We're not really seeking after God in the way that we should. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. Well, Jesus had a word for seven churches in Revelation, and I want us to look at the last letter, and I'm sure this is very familiar to all of us. I started off with a verse out of that, Revelation chapter 3. But he says here, I guess I'll start in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and thou mayest see. as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this is the church of the Laodicean that Jesus spoke to here. And he said, because, you know, the people were thinking that everything was well. They didn't need anything. They were increased with goods. But, you know, God saw them differently. They saw themselves one way, but God saw them differently. Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. He wants us to have the real gold, not the stuff that you can find in the rocks and stuff, but he wants us to have a relationship with him, a closeness with him. He wants us to be drawn close to him, and he tells us that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and that we should be zealous and therefore repent. So that's my encouragement for us today, is that we would seek after the living God, that we would see that our lives are nothing without him, that we are poor and wretched and blind and miserable, and that we need to draw close to the Lord. And I just pray that for myself and for all that are listening, that we would just pursue after the Lord, seek after God. He does care about us. You know, it's when we're having problems in our lives, it often goes the other way. You know, our crops get wiped out by a hailstorm, and we may think, is God not pleased with my life if something like that happens to us? Or when our chicken barn collapses in a storm, we may think, is God trying to tell me something? Or when sickness lays us on our back and we have time to ponder and think, and we wonder, is this the chastisement of God? Well, we need to readjust our priorities. We need to seek after the Lord, and not before these things come to pass, or before God has to chastise or discipline us or whatever. We need to seek after the Lord. And that's my encouragement to you today, and also for myself, that this is a busy time for a lot of us, but we need to seek after God. He wants to have a close relationship with us. So God bless you. Thanks for listening today, and Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow.